You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. And there are a lot of witch movies coming out lately. I mean, it is October, so I guess it's par for the course. But, man, all these witch movies, they just seem kind of generic. I like a good craft witch movie, you know? One with a little flavor to it, a little better. I know you people like to poo-poo my craft witch movies, but, yeah, that's as far as I got with that joke in my head before I decided to say it. Maybe I should, like...
You could have said that it's the season of the witch.
It is the season of the witch. That is true. You know, the problem I always have, and I bring this up every time we review a witch film, is like, look, the story of witches is fucking tragic and horrible. Like real life witches, the Salem witches. It's terrible. It's about misogyny. It's a run rampant and way out of control. It's about religion run rampant and way out of control. And these movies always make the witches the bad guys. What is wrong with you? Stop making witches the bad guys. They are not the bad guys. One of the reasons I liked the original movie, The Craft, when it came out, and I was one of the only people who liked it at the time that I remember seeing going, oh, that's pretty good. Everyone's like, that sucked. I'm like, okay. But was that, look, these witches, they're not the bad guys. Witches can be good. Well, at least most of the time, they're not the bad guys. You know, they get occasionally, but they have rules in this, and they're like Wiccan witches, but ones who can actually do shit. Because, you know, sorry, Wiccans.
Wow, throwing some shade tonight on the witches.
No, maybe they can, but it's not as impressive as like running your hands through your hair and it changes color instantly.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I've spent a few years as a Wiccan. You can't do shit.
Did you try to grow hair and it just
no,
did not
I
work?
Had hair then, so it didn't matter. No, but it was, and I know it sounds disparaging, but it was basically like a bunch of people who just got together and had an excuse to have a bonfire and say some stuff. But basically, it was like going to any other church, except it was cooler looking.
Right. You know? Oh, come on, man. I know why you went. You were like, look at all my hot goth girls. But then you got you got war blocked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is something to be said for... Anyway, let's not, because we're just adding to the whole witches and misogyny thing, so we should probably just get on with the movie.
Being attracted to hot goth girls is not misogyny.
That's true.
It's how you handle the way you talk to them.
It's the way you interact.
And the way this new movie, The Craft Legacy, which is indeed a sequel, I love people keep saying it's a remake. It's like, it's called The Craft Legacy. Which part of that made you think it's a remake?
It's very clearly a sequel.
I think that's questionable.
No, decidedly a sequel.
No, I mean, okay. Yes, it is for sure a sequel, but it doesn't necessarily... I wouldn't say it feels like one.
I think it does in the context of that it's aware that you're expecting something to hit all the beats of the first one, and it's less hitting the beats of the first one than it's teasing you it's going to and then doing something different instead.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. But we can get deeper into that as soon as I say hello to all you lovely people. That is LaWayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Adrian.
Hello.
And Wright.
Ooh, hello.
Oh, with his radio voice. I love that voice.
Ooh.
It's sultry.
No. This movie felt like a remake, though, in a lot of ways, because it went out of its way to be different, but still, it still be The Craft, or, you know, something that exists in that universe. But I think they went a very different direction with how the witches behave.
Yeah. Initially, the setup, you could not be... it's easy to see how you might think if you just had no idea that, oh, they're remaking this, because it's three witches that look kind of like the witches from the previous movie.
Right.
At least some
of them. Except they're color-coded.
Yeah, except they're color-coded. And there's no Firouza Balk character, really, but come on, there's only one Firouza Balk. What can you do?
Very true.
Yeah, I think it's Adrian who has a thing for the Balk. Was that you?
Someone once referred to her as scary, and that's exactly why I like her. Like,
yeah.
You want her to hold a poster board up and just say, I'll kill someone for you?
Threatening me and threatening to cut me, and I'll be like, you know what? That's cool with me.
She's Winona Ryder's character in Beetlejuice on meth.
Yes.
I could see that a little bit.
But much like that original film, it is three high school girls who all fancy themselves witches, and then the new girl who has come into the scene, played here by Kaylee Spaney, who you may not know the name yet, but I have a feeling you're going to. She has already played some memorable roles, playing one of the lead female characters in Pacific Rim Uprising, playing one of the lead female characters in Bad Times at the El Royale. She was in On the Basis of Sex. She appeared in Vice. She was the character who was sort of androgynous in Devs, which I did not immediately recognize her from, but that was in fact her. One of the best things about that miniseries, I thought, was actually her performance in there. So she's the new girl. She's come to town with her mom, played by one of my crushes, Michelle Monaghan, who is, you know, bringing her in because their father is like question mark, and she's met, the mom has met new guy, David Duchovny, who lives in a huge, nice house, has three sons of his own. And they're like, okay, and everything's awkward, and she feels awkward, and she gets to school, and right off the bat, she has, like the moment that almost really turned me off of this film, because it's just such a cliched new girl, first day in school thing, but with the feminine element, which was that, oh, she got her period right in class and started bleeding out, and people start laughing at her. It's like, okay. But that leads to her becoming friends with these other three girls who are sympathetic right off the bat, because they are very pro woman. They're witches or Wiccans, and they're very into the feminine, and they need a fourth, because everything apparently in this particular version of Wiccanism, and maybe Wiccanism in general, I just don't know enough to say, requires four for the four, like earth, air, fire,
it's
water.
The four elements and or the four cardinal directions.
Exactly.
You know, they're tied together, so they usually have four.
And immediately they find that when she shows up, you know, their powers start sparking a bit, and she starts having strange things happen to her, and they pretty much glom on almost immediately, like, hey, this is because of you. And they decide to team up, and like right off the bat, that's like, okay, this definitely works, as they start having usable, practical, pretty fucking cool X-Men mutant ability powers that they can do shit with. You know, the girl could like fucking shoot flame out of her finger and stuff. I'm like, that's more than just a party trick, right? That's a goddamn blowtorch fingers. That's useful. And I was honestly startled how much of this film, their powers have very little to actually do with anything. Because almost immediately the plot goes to, well, the guy who's a big dick in school, is much like in the first movie, like, we need to, like, cast a spell on him to show him the error of his ways. And in this run, he comes out like, wow, I can't believe I've been a dick for this so long. And the movie kind of turns into an instruction manual of, like, you're not ridiculous for being a woke dude. Like, right. He's a really smart, very well-spoken, very likable woke dude all of a sudden is apologizing for behavior in a way that's not meant to be laughable. Like, I think in the first movie, they were kind of making fun of the character who have reached this point. Here, they're not at all. They're like, wow, he's actually kind of great once he got over his bullshit. There's a lot of this movie that's just kind of about that. And surprisingly, I forgot all about the witchcraft. I was just really into watching this woke dude as an instructional manual for how to be a good person.
Right. I was texting people as I was watching this today, and I was like, is The Craft Legacy the most woke movie I've seen in a long time? Like, everything that it's talking about is so, it might be considered a little ham-fisted, but it was all appropriate for the characters, and it was really well done the way that it portrayed the characters. And, like, you didn't hate, like, the Skeet Ulrich, stand-in as the Timmy, the douchebag guy. And And because I was waiting for that, I was waiting for it to turn a, you know, a very sour way, and it wasn't it went in a very different way, more way different than I thought it was going to take it. And it's like, this is really fucking interesting. I have to say, I kind of love this movie. I'm sorry, I kind of did. And Adrian, I don't know about you, because we talked a little bit before this, and I know you didn't really like it that much.
Well, I first off, it has nothing to do with there's a new craft movie and it's woke or anything like that. Like, I don't want to give that impression. That being said, I do like the direction it goes, because for the first half of the movie, I was just kind of thinking, like, okay, they're just redoing the craft. Like, it's the exact same kind of basic setup. It's even going the same. It's playing all the same beats in a way, and it made me think a little bit, like, well, I guess if you really want to see a new one, that's cool, but the craft from the 90s, it still works. I'd say it's still pretty decent. I just watched it for the first time recently, so I was kind of coming at this with that comparison. However, the direction it goes, I dig it. I just think it's not the best put together film. I'm not sure if it's budgetary reasons, and I definitely don't hate this movie, but I couldn't help but feel like this really does feel like one of those sequels that went straight to DVD back in the 2000s. Like, let's just take a horror title, add number two to it, change the crew, and it's gonna go straight to DVD. And it looks like it could totally be straight to VOD, which is, I guess, what they're doing. I'm not sure if they ever planned a theater release for this. But this does kind of feel like even more so on a budget than the original one did. And I just think it's a little bit too noticeable.
One of the things that I noticed when I was watching it, I mean, technically it looks pretty good and it sounds pretty good and all that stuff, but there are characters who just disappear for huge swaths of the movie, particularly the step family. Like, they just drift in and out, and, like, the littlest one, he shows up when you need him to exposit, and then he just disappears. So there's a few little spotty things like that, and I'm not sure if that's an issue of editing or if that's literally writing, and that's just what they did.
I mean, that all kind of leads into the actual bad person of the movie, the villain.
Right.
And although by the time it was over, I was like, okay, I guess I liked it all, but it is terribly broad. No pun intended. That whole, like the way they get with using the stepchildren as just part of that story, the way they get you to the end, because there's no apparent nemesis until like the last 12 minutes or something of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is like the last 10 or 15 minutes of the movie. Otherwise, it's basically a teen drama involving witches.
Yeah, yeah.
And adapting to actually having abilities and having to navigate that and all of this. It almost feels like it could have benefited from being like a limited series rather than like a straight up movie. Like, if you give it like half a dozen episodes, I mean, not a ton, because there's not that much to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because to some degree we're just getting to the end anyway. I mean, that's the idea.
You could expand on the subplots and the character, give those other characters things to actually do. And they don't really, I mean, none of the three brothers that are in this, I mean, they all serve a point in the plot, but a lot of that is just telling you the point that they serve in the plot rather than
right.
It happening on screen in front of you.
That's one of the things that I was thinking of after, or as I was watching it, and then after I finished it, is that, and this is not a knock at the movie, but I wanted more. I wanted more of like the characters, because I was pretty invested. Like, I really wanted to know what else was going on and to expand upon the characters. And I think to Adrian's point, I think it was more, it had to have been a battle between the writer and director, which I think she's great. It's like, she's written a lot of like indie movies that are, you know, female centric. And I think that's great that she had this kind of like big break of a, you know, more of a big budget movie, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Zoe Lister-Jones. By the way,
for like a bigger property, let's say. But I, it must have been, we're like, well, we got to, you know, cut this down a little bit and just kind of like get to the point. Cause this could have been maybe even two and a half hours. And I would have been pretty interested still the entire time just to see where all these characters were going.
because the main characters, like the main character is very well developed and the relationship with their mom is cool. And as it starts getting into kind of the reveals towards the very end, I really liked what they were doing there. There's a fake out moment that I thought was handled excellently well, especially with Michelle Monaghan, who did a great job in that part. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of fun to be had when they choose to have it with those aspects, but you're right. None of the, even the other witches, like in the first movie, they all had their thing. Like one of them had been badly burned and they all had their own thing. That's not here at all. Right. Once again, not a remake, but there's not much. They're there to service the plot as it pertains to the primary character and what her own, I mean, really the two main characters are her and the dickhead guy who like fucks with her earlier.
Yeah. That's who we spend the most time with.
Yeah. I love what they do with that quite a bit.
It's kind of a shame because even one of the main witches is a trans actress.
Right.
And they mention it maybe one time. I think she mentions something about trans magic.
They do, yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, that's kind of cool. I wonder if they'll delve into that a little more. Nope, not at all. Yeah. It doesn't really go into anyone's backstory. And I think that's my main problem with it is that, yeah, this is fun and it's lighthearted, but I'm finding it a little hard to care. And that's the last thing I want out of a movie that's supposed to be a sequel to The Craft, where I liked following these characters. I like seeing crazy ass Fruza Balk and seeing, you know, where is this going to go? And I for this one, I just kind of felt like, okay, I wonder how they're going to play out this scene in the original. And
I'm glad it ended up not being a remake, though, because I, like I said, I liked the first one when it came out. Everybody else seemed to hate it, but it definitely has grown a cult following, no question. Sure. But I think that has much less to do with the horror elements than it had to do with the female-centric parts of this film, which was so rare at that period of time. That was very like, oh, like witches and female power and stuff. These were things you just didn't see in movies. And I think that this director was like, well, we got to play on those elements more. So this one, much like that one, is not wildly horror-centric. It delves into it, but it really is more about feminism and female like issues. And I think that that works completely to its benefit here. I mean, yes, by, I guess, any standard, the idea that almost none of the other characters are really developed is not a good thing, but I didn't even think about that till it was over.
Well, they explain, I think, to your point, Chris, and your point, Adrian, like, they do two things. They'd have, like, a couple of different montages where they kind of, you know, do a remake, you could say, of, like, the original movie. They kind of, like, hit all the points, are like, hey, you know, light as a feather, stiff as a board, you know, crap like that. But then they also do a montage where they do kind of explain some of their characters and you kind of get them. But I think that's our, I would say collectively our issue with it is that, well, like, okay, I get their character, but it's still kind of one-dimensional. Like in the original movie, they really got to expand on like at the, you know, each of the characters' home lives. And like definitely for Fruza Balk's character, which was really severe, having an abusive father, and you really got to see her motivation, whereas everyone else, you're like, oh, okay, well, they're all picked on and for these particular reasons, and this is why they are, you know, doing these things.
Where she's the nemesis, she's the ends up being the villain in the first one. Like we said, there isn't really a villain until like the very, very end of this film.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a cute idea what they do with it. It works, but it kind of is this startling reminder of the, oh yeah, this is supposed to be a horror film. I forgot.
Right. But,
let's go to final thoughts. Right. Why don't we get us started?
Oh man. I watched this today. I had a smile on my face the entire time. Like I watched the original Craft quite a bit as a kid because I had a sister. I had four stepsisters, and every Halloween we'd watch this at least like 15 times in a row. And I slowly fell in love with it, and it was really a part of my childhood. So like I know the original movie very well, and so I was actually pretty excited to see this, and I'm really glad that it treated it like they wanted to do a sequel, not a remake. And they weren't like trying to remake all like the hits of the original. And they were turning a few things, a few ideas of the original like on their head and doing it a different direction for at least our 2020 audience. And I still say right now, this is really one of the most woke movies I've seen in a very long time. I think that in the end, I wanted more. I could have watched a lot more of the movie. I wish it was an extra, like, honestly, 30 minutes longer just to expand upon some of the characters. And, I mean, every character. I think that there was a lot to give, but I was either editing or maybe just how it was written. If anything, I would just like, just give me more of this world. Like, this was a really cool, like, story and world that you're trying to build. But I'll give this 8 out of 10 really weird porn that you could watch by yourself.
Wait, what? What's weird about porn that you watch by yourself? How do you
really
watch porn?
Weird porn with okay. A lot of screaming involved. When you watch the movie, you'll know what I mean.
Yeah. You're like, right? Just like, I like porn where they just lie there. Oh, yeah.
Just put some headphones in, man. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's the biggest I've ever had.
Yeah, no Luane? Screaming. I'm just kind of like, meh.
Luane?
I would have liked more of this. You know, I mean, like I said, I could live with a handful of episodes of this. That'd be great. I could get by with the director's cut with an extra half hour or so, where they maybe spend a little more time with some of that stuff. And so there, I really had a lot of fun with this movie. I was actually looking forward to watching it. I do remember watching The Craft and enjoying it. I haven't revisited it a ton, but I do know that I've always liked it. I like the cast in that. I think they're great. And this is the same thing. And that's part of the reason it feels like I'm missing out, because I do want more of all of them. You know, I want to see them in, you know, dealing with this world that they've suddenly got themselves into. And I'd like for each of the characters to get to do more. I mean, you know, you put a trans actress in here with a trans character, and there's a couple throwaway lines about menstruation and some other stuff and the miracles of birth and all that. But okay, well, you've basically just pointed out what makes her different instead of what it is that makes her just like the rest of you in a very other way. So my rating probably sounds like it's not great, because it's 3.5 out of 5 woke Timmies. But I think there are just a few things that they could have done to make this not just a good movie, which it already is, but really a genuinely great movie because of the way they took it. And so I just want more, man.
He should have stuck in his head in at one point and been, ta-da! I would have accepted it. Adrian?
I really wanted to like this. I mean, I like the original Craft, and for a while I thought this is just a new version of it with a new soundtrack, which soundtrack, pretty decent, but nothing really different until it does get different. And that's enjoyable, but unfortunately it's still a movie that I have to look at. And I think this is one of the ugliest movies I've seen in a while. Like, this is shot like it was made for TV. This is shot like some kind of Netflix series. And the effects are the same way. The effects look like they're from 1996. And they have not aged well. And because of that, I was kind of seeing this as like, well, it's pretty bad, but at least it's enjoyably bad because I can kind of make fun of it. And on any other day, I would say, check this out with your friends, you know, watch it on Netflix or whatever it's going to come to. Unfortunately, this is going to be a $20 rental when it comes out. So if you want to get 4 friends together and put together $5, that's cool. I can't really recommend this for $20. It's just like, it's a little too flawed for it to be a full price film. However, I don't hate it, despite how that may sound. If, like I said, if you want to get some friends together, put the money together, sure, check it out. But just know you may think it's going to get kind of silly when it goes from like the half point onward. I'm going to give this 2, man, I can't think of anything either. Two
men's rights activist groups you got to go and pay your membership to.
Yeah, there we go.
Again.
Two red pills that I popped before this review out of 5.
Just teasing you, brother. I don't know, man. This is I don't see the, I mean, nothing is like super stand out about the cinematography or the special effects, but neither did I think they were bad. They were fully acceptable. I was like, okay, this is fine. This looks like a movie to me, not a television thing. That being said, nowadays television looks pretty good. But anyway, the upshot is I thought this had a really great script. I really liked the way they decided to make the entire middle act about how to become a better person, you know, how not to be a toxic douchebag, and did it in a way that felt super organic. It made you really kind of fall in love with these characters. I mean, I found myself actually getting kind of emotional watching this at one point. There's a point like he apologizes to her at a party for the way he treated her, and I swear to God, I teared up. I was like, this is genuinely beautiful what they're doing here. It doesn't feel fake at all. I was with it, man. I was with this movie. And yes, it goes in order like, oh shit, we got to end this thing and also bring it back to the witchcraft. It gets a little silly at the end, but not in a way that I found outrageously silly. I mean, I would have liked, I think the biggest problem is it needed more space to tell the story that it had in order to develop these other characters and make them more than just props, which they basically are. But they're the stepbrothers not so much, but the other witches are very entertaining props, to be sure. They are well drawn in terms of their affectations and their being kind of bigger than life. But yeah, I would like to have known more about them. I would definitely watch another craft film, especially the way this ends makes me go, oh good, if you do another one, you don't have to feel like you're tricking anyone to thinking they're watching a remake for the first half hour, because we already did that. And I can go, no, this is a whole new story. We're going, like, it continues on from this point. Please do that. Don't be like an 80s horror movie that's like, and forget any of that ever happened. Here's another thing with the same monsters. But I'm going to give this 7.5. That's right. 7.5 out of 10. Special X-Files episode where David Duchovny accidentally gets possessed in a Millennium crossover. LeWayne's all about it. He's like, fuck yeah, I'd watch that shit, brother.
Give me some more Millennium. Yeah.
Dude, they're actually, did you see like the lead actor?
Back to Frank Black?
Lance Henriksen?
Yeah. He's been like all over social media lately saying, hey, anybody out there want to see a continuation of Millennium? We're actually about it. I was like,
what?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Don't fuck it up like you did the X-Files one.
I have no idea what y'all are talking about. This is a little too nerdy for me.
It's not too nerdy for you. It's just a different direction of nerdy.
Different direction.
I guess
nerdy.
So. Yeah.
Get with it, Adrian.